What up, you guys? I am so excited. I have Jana Kramer on this episode of Get Real, Honest Women, Honest Talk. Jana is such a force of nature. She is an actress. She was on One Tree Hill. She is a country star. She was on Dancing with the Stars and was a finalist. Now she has an incredible podcast called Wind Down with Jana Kramer, and her husband Mike is on it too. She is such just a force to be reckoned with. I love Jana so much. We talk about everything under the sun. We start this episode with some pretty exciting news, so you're going to want to tune in and hear that. And then we just dive into her life. Babies, miscarriage, the trauma of miscarrying, her marriage, how she and Mike have rebuilt it and are thriving, her podcast, her career, everything, how she makes it all work. And she's so honest and talks about everything just from her soul, so authentic. So y'all, please welcome Jana Kramer. Hi, Jana Kramer.
Hi.
What's going on?
Thing out of the what is it?
The cat out of the bag.
Yeah.
Or more like the dog out of the pen, because it sounds like there's a racetrack upstairs.
Yeah, there's a racetrack going on upstairs, but it's all good.
You know, if you guys hear feet all over the place, which I don't think you can, it's these tiny little they're not Yorkies.
I'm in town right now staying at my girlfriend's house, and she has two Boston Terriers, and I don't think there's very good
And they like run. They're running a marathon
right now. Yeah. So they're doing the workout for us.
You might not be able to hear it, but if you do, it's not thunder.
Apologies.
Okay. Yeah. So the dog's out of the pen, the cat out of the bag.
What is it? Would you like to say it to the camera?
Yes. Let me straighten up the camera because it's crooked, but you know, do everything ghetto around here. Okay. Great.
Caroline, would you like to tell your listeners something if they didn't see it on Instagram?
Okay, so breaking news. Yes, this has just been announced. Michael and I are pregnant.
Yay!
With a girl.
Oh my God, yay!
I didn't tell you it was a girl.
No!
Yes, little girl.
God.
I know, Michael was so cute because he was like, oh my gosh, when he found out, he was like, I mean, I'm going to be the male influence in her life. Like, you know, like girls, if they have daddy issues, it's from their dads. He's like, I don't want to give her daddy issues.
100%. Every single one of my issues came from my dad. Like 100%.
That's what he's like, you're going to have to be disciplinarian. I'm just going to be like her best friend and hang out with her all the time. I'm like, okay.
Oh my gosh. Wait, I didn't know. Did you do the blood work?
Yeah. And everything came back great.
Uh-huh.
Because all that genetic testing, which you and I have talked about this before.
Yeah.
I had a miscarriage and a chemical pregnancy. I think I had two chemical pregnancies, okay. But for sure one.
So when was the last miscarriage? Was it at what week?
It was like 6 to 8 weeks.
Like,
yeah. And so I have had so much anxiety around this pregnancy.
Yeah.
Which is so crazy. I was talking to one of my good friends who's had two kids now, and she had a miscarriage in between her
Kristen.
No, this is my friend in Texas.
Okay.
But also Kristen Brush. She talked about this too. But it's just like, she was like telling me, she's like, you'll never, unfortunately, you're just not going to be able to enjoy pregnancy like others might, because you have this fear. You'll have this fear of miscarrying. And once you miscarry, it's traumatizing.
It's hard. I mean, I remember when we talked, I didn't know you were having a girl, but when I found out you were pregnant and we were talking about that, because I've had obviously a couple of miscarriages, and I was just like,
I watched your video, by the way, that you posted your YouTube where you were walking
the IVF,
and you had done it, like you had gone through it and you had gotten pregnant, and then it didn't work, and like, oh my God, I was like crying with you because it was so emotional.
Yeah, I mean, it was just one of those things where I was like, I don't know if I want to share this, because it's not like I was not trying to get sympathy. I was not trying to do any of that, even with the first one.
Nobody talks about this.
I know.
I feel like they're starting to.
Yeah, I think they're starting to, but I feel like people talk about it after the fact. So like after they've been, which is the same thing that I did with it. So after, you know, I had the miscarriage, then I got pregnant, and then I finally shared, okay, I had a miscarriage before that. But I think in that moment, it's so hard to share that, because you're just, and I mean, I did with the last one the two before Jace, because it was just like, in that moment, I was like, I don't know when I'm going to be able to post something happy on Instagram again, because this is just what happened. So that's when I shared the photo of losing that one baby, and then we tried IVF, and then it's just hard. And
you enter into a fog. Like, I was in a fog for like 8 months in the middle of like our pregnancy journey, when it wasn't working, miscarrying, like couldn't get pregnant, chemical pregnancies. Like, I just got sort of depressed.
Oh, 100%. Well, because it's super hormonal too. And then just the imbalances that you go through. But for me, it was more like I don't know how your hubby was, but like with Mike, like he was trying to be supportive, but I just like, I go into a hole where I'm like, this is, I'm the reason I'm a bad wife because I can't carry a baby, and I'm a bad wife and mother, and like I'm not a good woman because I can't carry a child because I keep losing it. So like, what's wrong with me? So I just went like real like, I attacked myself for like the longest time. Is that what you did too?
That's when I started to realize it was actually, I learned a lot during last year, which was like a, just like a very hard season. Mm-hmm. I learned that I had terrible self-talk. Because I am so positive for everyone else, and like I'm so quick
to
like,
you really are really positive for everybody.
I can really find the great things about other people, but like with myself, like I did not realize how brutal I was on myself and how hard I was on myself and how especially like ugly I talked to myself. Like
is that why you started doing the like basically like owning your skin of like how you looked and the classes and stuff? Was that the start of maybe?
I don't even know. Actually Michael Chandler, who owns Training Camp, which is an incredible gym where I did my Fit Females, which anyone in Nashville who wants to get in great shape should do this 6-week program. It's called Fit Females.
Okay. I think I saw that on your Instagram.
I'm going to do it again after I have this baby because it got me in the best shape of my life. Girl. But Michael Chandler is a 3-time MMA world champion fighter.
Oh, wow.
And so his wife, Brie, is incredible. They own this gym together, and they just adopted the cutest baby last year, Hap. They have so much on their plate, and they're incredible people. But he always posts about self-talk. And so I was, like, in his gym for 6 weeks, and, like, I was bettering myself, and, like, he was always talking about self-talk. And I just started, like, taking inventory of how I was speaking to myself. And I don't know. I just always beat myself up to pulp. And, like, if I do anything that, like, offends someone, I think people hate me, mm-hmm. and I'll like spiral, and mm-hmm. I feel like I have to owe them my apologies for the rest of my mm-hmm. life. I like grovel on the mm-hmm. floor. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I can't get over things.
Yeah.
Because I just feel like I've ruined something if I've made a mistake, but it's not even a mistake. It's just living.
So where in your childhood is that? Like, how old are you when you act that way? Like, what happened in your childhood that causes you to,
I'm like, now it's an intervention with you. Part of me thinks, have you done the Enneagram?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
What's your number?
What my age is when I go back to?
No, what's your number on the Enneagram?
Oh, God. I can't remember. I really can't remember. We had a lady come on the podcast and do that. So I honestly can't remember.
Okay. Well, I'm a 4, which is like a romantic, which feels like they're just so unique that no one understands them. And mm-hmm. like, it's like almost dramatic all the time. Mm-hmm. So they're like, 4s are really creative, but like really emotional. So I think part of me is the way I'm wired. Like mm-hmm. I'm so emotional. Got it. Like, and I have gotten a grip on it through lots of therapy and just growing up and understanding the world.
Yeah.
But I could spiral into a hole so fast.
It's easy to.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, how are your hormones now, like being pregnant?
I told Michael the other day, and knock on wood, I'm like, I haven't been doing any self-help for like the past like 4 months, which mm-hmm. normally I'm always reading some sort of self-help or posting mm-hmm. things or like trying to better myself because I'm so trying to speak it into myself.
Yeah.
I've been feeling really good.
Maybe the hormones have like really leveled you out.
I don't feel lost right now.
I will tell you what, when I was pregnant, like I, even in the very beginning, I felt kind of hormonally crazy, but in the middle, I was just like, for some reason, like I usually have really bad anxiety, and then I didn't have any anxiety when I was pregnant. After I was pregnant, I got my bad anxiety again.
Oh, okay.
But that's just, you know, you just have to just be careful, like after the baby, like the blues and stuff.
So talk to me about your journey. When did you, have you always had anxiety, or is that like after being a mom?
I got my anxiety post a bad relationship.
Okay, early on?
I was 20. It was an abusive relationship. So I became really like, I had really bad PTSD. When was that, really like, kind of one of your PTSD. First loves? Well, long story short, he was the one that I married in Vegas when I was 19 years old. Did a drive-thru. I knew him for 2 weeks. Super classic Jana Kramer love story.
Hey, you know what? I love that you're just like all in, you know?
Yeah, that was a bad one to be all in on. But no, he ended up going to jail for attempted murder on me. And then it's a real long story.
He tried to murder you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, crazy.
Did he have any success? Like, did he?
Oh, I'm alive.
Did he like really hurt you?
So the problem was is where he had his. Yes, he really did hurt me. He broke my ribs, and I was black and blue. But
oh my God,
it's all good. Well, I'm good now.
I know. And look
but,
at you.
He verbally said he was going to try to kill me in a text message. That's how they got premeditated attempted murder. So that's what, and then when he tried to do that, cause he was like, that's it. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to get my gun. And I'm going to kill you. Let's just not go down that whole rabbit hole. But like, long story short, you know, he went to jail and, but that's where I got my PTSD from. So that's where I had really bad anxiety
away from him.
Well, he passed away.
Oh my gosh.
He committed suicide after he got out of prison.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Let's just like, lighten this mood up a little bit.
But you've really been through, wow. Okay. So that is a start.
So that's where I got my anxiety. So like anytime I ever feel, cause he was like, you know, on top of me, choking me. So anytime I feel trapped or I go into like massive anxiety, and bless my husband, like he doesn't understand anxiety. And so he thinks it's all mental. So and I'm
Michael
like,
doesn't have any anxiety.
Zero.
How like great would zero that anxiety. Be?
Oh my God, it
would
have been amazing.
What a life.
I know, but he thinks it's mental. He's like, you're telling yourself you have anxiety. I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like you may think I'm crazy or I'm acting crazy. I was like, I wish I could be like, oh, let me just snap out of it. Like you can't just like snap out of it. But after having my son, my anxiety came back really bad because I think it was just being out of the house and like he's so little, like you'll have that where you just like have that like mom pull, mm-hmm. that mom anxiety. You're like, I can't leave the house, but you have to just slowly, like my girlfriends, Beth, mm-hmm. Catherine, Rachel all came in town and I was sitting at dinner and they're like, are you okay? And I was like, mm-hmm. And then I was like, no girls, I'm sorry. Like I am having a panic attack. I want to go home. And they're like, just like breathe. You're yeah. okay. And I was like, gonna,
all of them are moms, so they could help yeah. walk you through it.
And I mean, I ended up like breathing through it and had like downed a bottle of Sprite. Cause I was like, I think I'm just dizzy and like, I'm tired. I don't know. I haven't slept in like ages, but yeah, no, it's just like, it's, you know, you just have to be like, just really watch your hormones afterwards. Cause I think what husbands don't realize and what we don't realize is, you know, when the baby's out, it's like, oh, you're back to normal. It's like, no, you're not. Like your hormones are like, they're still here. It takes a year to get back to like your normal hormones.
And now you have a life that you're fully responsible yeah. for. So you've I can't even imagine.
Baby, you've got a career. I mean, you can't just like stop what you're doing. I mean, we're bosses. We're our
you're
own bosses.
Boss. No, I'm
you're
a boss. A boss. No, I'm a tempted boss.
You are a boss. We are a boss. So it's like, we have to, you know, we don't get time off. That's the thing. It's like, oh, you don't have a break. I'm like, no, like I can't. So
you have two kids. Speaking of mm-hmm. boss, like two kids. Okay. I was actually stalking you earlier today. I started watching One Tree Hill a little bit.
You did?
Yeah, because I wanted to know what everything was about. Like a while
That's
back.
That's funny.
And your character was like, what a role.
She was a hot mess.
But I mean, there's so many things. She attempted suicide in the bathtub. Oh, that made God. Me feel so sad.
I know. I felt bad for her. But she's awesome. She was a cool
she
character.
She was a great character.
She was fun because she was complex. Like she came in and everyone hated her. But then like she
did
redeems
say it was
herself.
One Tree Hill?
One Tree Hill.
Yeah. So she came in and she like shook the town.
Mm-hmm. She just came in like just being like this real alcoholic drug addict, which I've never been drunk before. I've never touched a drug. So it's very
okay,
like,
how have you never been drunk before?
And my husband's probably laughing in the other room, but I swear to you, I've never,
have you ever gotten tipsy?
So like, just, I'm like, I thought he was laughing at me. I'm like, describe tipsy.
Okay.
Never had the spins.
Okay. Tipsy to me is like
I get wine. Like I'm wine happy right now.
Okay. So like tipsy to me is where I'm not really a good drinker. Like, cause I literally will get like,
how though? You're on a bus with like a bunch of dudes. No? Like, do you still like travel with the boys and
yes.
stuff? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've just never really been a great drinker. So like mm-hmm. I kind of usually miss the tipsy phase and then mm-hmm. I'll end up drunk and then I'm like asleep or crying or
crying.
Yeah. So like, I don't know, like tipsy, I never get to that like happy place.
Yeah.
Cause like if I feel like I have to like, if everyone's drinking, I feel like pressure to drink. Uh-huh. Then I feel like I can't do it. It's like too much pressure, like game time pressure. Like I just like croak. I need to be like at a restaurant with friends, having martinis and having some wine. And then all of a sudden I'll just be drinking. And then I don't know, like I'm dancing and laughing, but I don't know.
I feel like you've always been like a very happy drinker.
Me?
Yeah.
Or all of my emotions come out and it's like a whirlpool. But I feel
how
like
have your emotions been though with the baby? Like good?
Better, really a lot
so
better.
So I think you've like truly evened out.
Yes, I do think so. Cause I really like the self-help has not been what
you know,
it normally
told me
is.
That, have you interviewed Sarah Bryce, Lee Bryce's wife? Okay. She's amazing. She's one of my like dear friends. And she told me too, she's like her anxiety, her emotions like leveled out during pregnancy. So I don't know what it is, but sometimes like, and for me too, like it helped with the hormones.
Isn't it crazy? Cause like I would look at you and you think like, how could you possibly have anxiety? Cause like all the things you're stunning, drop dead gorgeous, probably one of the most beautiful people I've ever seen.
Stop. I'm like, ugh.
Okay, well, that's just the truth. Ugh. And so, but then you have a great husband who y'all have like really like worked y'all's marriage out. Like I have loved watching your journey. Like thanks. Y'all's evolution and y'all's like fight for your marriage and how beautiful it is amazing.
Thanks.
Two beautiful kids. You were like fourth place on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, yeah.
You
really?
Have a great music wow. career.
Oh, come on.
You had like, you won an ACM Best New Female Artist. And then I got dropped
from a record label.
But that's how the music industry works, you know?
Yeah, it's but like, then like, and then what? Then you're not on the charts. You know what I mean? Like, then you're
how
done.
How does that affect you when like you win Best New Female, you have like a smash, like Why You Want It. That was like the biggest song ever.
Well, Got the Boy, like,
and got, oh yeah.
Yeah, Got the Boy was, they were both top three. They're both platinum selling singles. And then
how does that go from being like the hottest thing to hit country music to getting dropped? Like, how does that happen?
Because two singles later, so after Got the Boy, the last two singles didn't chart well. And then they're like moving on. But yet, Warner, sorry, oops, no. But yet my label, my last label has kept the four guys that have not even come close to charting the same that I charted, have come close to selling the records that I sold, have come close to any of the sponsors. Like, so I'm like, but yet you keep those, yet they're still on the roster and they haven't charted. So I'm like, but yet you drop me after I failed. I didn't fail. I did my part. You know what I mean? So, yeah. So I'm like, okay, but yet you keep them and you don't give me the opportunity. So that's why, what's frustrating.
That is like the big question in Nashville. It's like you can be the biggest thing, have these huge hits, and then like, oh,
well,
sorry.
I mean, your husband, right? Their band, yeah. are they re-signed?
They're in the middle of working on okay. their next
yeah, yeah.
show. And
yeah.
so they just made a new album with Dave Oof. Cobb and it's all great. But it's like, you have to keep going hardcore, you know?
Well, and that's the thing
but
though,
you
is
have so
I don't.
Outlets for well, your
here's the
creativity.
Thing, like, here's the thing, like with kind of country music, they were always like, you have to be in one thing. I'm like, I don't want to just be in one box. Like, I'm not just a one box artist. Yeah. Well, I'm just like, I want to do like so many different things. So it's like, that's why like I'm rooting for like Lindsay L and those girls. Cause I'm like those, like she is the definition of like working her ass off.
I mean, she's been working her ass off forever.
Forever. And I'm like, you know what? Like, that's why she'll win and why I won't at the end of the day win in country radio. Because I just was like, I can't do it anymore. Like, mm-hmm. And like when she's like, I have nothing else but this.
Yes.
And like, this is what I'm like, and she's amazing. Like, and that's where like my downfall is. Cause I'm like, okay, well I'm just going to go do something else. So that's not really great. Like sometimes I think about that, I'm like, okay, maybe it's not good to have your eggs in like different baskets, because then it's like, you're not really putting like 110% into it. But I feel like, I'm like, how many more free shows at radio can I play? How many more free, like, until I'm just like, well, I'm not charting. Like, what am I supposed to do?
But see, I don't think that it's wrong to put your eggs in different baskets if you have other baskets that you're really good at. Because like, honestly, look at Mandy Moore. To me, she's like one of the most amazing examples of having a great career in music and then stalling out like forever. Where did she go in music? Who knows? And then she comes out and This Is Us, but she still like works her music and singing into that career.
Yeah.
You know, I just think like if you have the ability to be an actress, if you have the ability to use your voice like you do on a podcast, like if you're really talented in other areas, I think they'll all come together.
True.
As long as you're still working, you know, like and hustling and trying hard.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's when you just throw in the towel and everything, it's like, that's when it's probably not gonna happen. But
that's true.
You have not thrown in the towel. You're kicking ass.
No, I mean, I'm still like, and you know, I just released a single, and so like I'm still doing things that I love. Like, I still love music. But I'm just like, I know I can be like, okay, I'm never gonna chart again, because that's just not like, I'm never gonna get signed again. I'm 35 years old, 35 year old female. I'm not gonna get signed again. Like, it's, you know. And it is what it is, but I know that I've made some great fans along the way, and I'm excited, you know, to be able to do like different things on my journey and what I'm doing now with my husband and like what we're creating. I'm so excited about that.
So talk to me about that. Talk to me how the podcast came about.
Well, the podcast is so much fun.
It's
called Wind Down. Yes. And my husband's now my co-host, and it started off just me and another girl. And when Michael would come on the show, it was, like, the show would do good. It was good. But then like when Mike came out, like girls really want to hear a guy's perspective.
And he's got such a cool, chill, laid back personality.
Yeah.
And so happy, it seems, all the time.
I mean,
but he'll weigh in.
I'm like, yeah, no, totally. I'm like, I mean, not like all the time, but yeah. No, but he's great. Like, he's a good balance. And then I bring my friend Sarah Kusick on the show sometimes too. And so it's good. Like, it's a good blend, and we have it's been therapy for us.
Really?
So it's
okay,
been
talk
fun.
To me about that.
Well, I mean, we've gotten into it a couple times on the show.
Really? Because one time you wrote an apology to him.
I did.
Cause you,
well, because sometimes I'm too sarcastic. Sometimes, okay, no, I'll say this. I'm sarcastic and some people don't know that I'm like kidding. So then they're like, you're always so hard on your husband. And I'm like, well, that's just like how I talk. But then sometimes I'm passive too. And it's not okay to be passive when I actually have something underlying it, like underlying meaning.
There's like a truth, a little truth.
So yeah. So sometimes then the perfect storm is I'm passive and I'm sarcastic and that's just not nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that was so nice of you to call yourself out.
Thanks.
What had you told him?
I basically, okay.
You don't have to relive any of it.
No, it's okay. It was, we had a, what are those things called? Where they marry different wives.
Sister wife.
So we had a sister wife couple on the show.
Okay.
And he basically said that he believed in monogamy. And I was mm-hmm. like, do you? And so it's not very nice.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And so it was just, he's just like, yes, I do. And I was like, well, how can you say that when like, you know what I mean?
Okay.
So.
And y'all, like you said, y'all have done so much work on your marriage. Just yeah. like you don't want
to. I was like, I didn't need to say that.
Yeah. I know. You know,
I think I was being joking, but then really I was like, no, actually I wasn't joking. Cause it was like, I got triggered with I'm like, well then if you believe in that, then why'd you do this? So mm-hmm. it was just one of those where I was like, that was rude of me and I shouldn't have said it like that. And then people are like, well, why would you apologize if he did this? I was like, because I still have a part in it too. Like he's doing his part. Like I have to do my part too, not to like drag him through the mud every like 2 seconds.
I freaking love that and respect that. And I think that that's so awesome in a mature relationship because something I've learned about marriage after being married, we're going to be married 5 years in Whoa. August. And we've been together like 11 years, almost 10 years. Uh-huh. And we've grown so much like from being immature kids to breaking up to all sorts of things. And I've just realized like you really have to assume the best in your partner. Let them grow mm-hmm. and let yourself grow and not go backwards.
What is y'all's biggest issue, you think?
I mean, knock on wood again.
Like, do you guys not fight?
Don't tell me that. We're in such a good place. But we've been together for 10 years.
True. Like, so you guys had your like break.
That you can fight about.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Like y'all fought about.
We've mm-hmm. broken up about. Like I moved to Austin for a year. Mm-hmm. We dated tons of other people. Mm-hmm. I used to be a hot mess. Like I used to be so worried about dating like a musician and not having security and not thinking.
I remember having that conversation with you because I was dating someone else and y'all were at our house. Remember? And you're like, I think I'm going to get back together with them, but I don't know. Like
I was so worried about this, like the insecure lifestyle. And then I thought he partied too hard. And I just was always trying to make him into something that I thought was like more stable. Mm-hmm. So then we broke up and I started dating some people that I thought were more stable. And I was like, this is torture for me. Yeah. I would rather live this creative lifestyle, trust in our talents and our drive and just like believing in each other and just like let the wave ride.
And now look at you guys.
I will say like, we have really gotten to a great place. And the first year of marriage was really hard. Like I had a really hard time with the first year of marriage, just like adjusting. Yeah. And he was on the road all the time. He had three gorgeous backup singers that were living with him. And I was like, kind of insecure because we had eloped. We had been married 4 months and then he was like on the road. They had a huge number one hit. He had three gorgeous backup singers who were great friends of mine. Mm-hmm. But I just was like coming off of the dating scene and I had like just insecurities. Mm-hmm. And so that was hard for me to just get comfortable with.
Yeah.
But then you get used to it all and you're fine. It's like girls travel with guys in their van.
Right.
But I just had to get my trust back and I had to like trust that we were really, I mean, just, I don't know, doing this forever, doing mm-hmm. something forever is like legit.
Well, yeah. And then, I mean, gosh, think about like even the next 10 years, it's like you're going to grow so much more. You're going to learn so much more. And now you're going to have kids along the way. How many kids do you want?
I mean, definitely one.
Okay. You're like, definitely one.
Two would be the max. Two. I don't know. I
think what we'll are you most one. Scared about being a mom?
I am scared about some of them getting hurt
physically, emotionally,
not as much emotionally. Cause I feel like, I feel like I've been through so much stuff in my own head that like, I'm going to hope in my mind, I'm like, I'm just going to be so ready to talk everything out with my daughter where I'm like here for her. I'm going to have so much patience, but I know when I get there, gosh. I'm sure it's a totally different story.
Said the same thing.
I'm like, I've lived it. And like now I have this like plethora of information to like help her become who she wants to be. Oh mm-hmm. yeah. See, I know like here, who do
and
I
then
think
she of? Becomes like a three-nager and you're just like, just
what is it like having a three-nager?
She's tough, man. Yeah.
She's like, got even, her
even
own just spirit.
Like, even in the car, like Michael and I were singing, she's like, mama, no, stop. And I was just like, who are you? Like, I birthed you. Like, be nice to me. Like, be nice.
What is your biggest fear as a parent?
Like, I know I'm going to mess them up. I already know that. Like, I know they're going to have to go to therapy at some point because I did something. I'm either going to be too loving, not loving enough. I'll never not be loving enough. I'm either going to be too overbearing, too strict on something that messes them up from this. Like, you know, I even made a mistake the other day. I was talking to this nutritionist who came on our podcast and I said, you know, I have created this bad habit of weighing myself. And
no, you're like perfect.
Well, no, it's just, it's a long story, but it was something that like I could control. So it was like,
do you have body dysmorphia?
No.
Okay.
I have a number dysmorphia.
Like you need it to be a certain number or else you have a bad day.
Terrible.
Like the number will wreck. What if it's like half a pound or a pound off?
Doesn't matter. It will ruin my day.
And you keep putting yourself through this?
Well, so I'm slowly getting out of it now. Yeah, yeah. So I'm getting out of it now. But
I used to have that too. And I used to be addicted to diet pills and have all the stuff.
Oh no. See, that's the thing. Like I wouldn't like, I'm not a diet. No, like it's just the,
you need the number. And cause that means that, what does that mean to you?
That I'm good enough.
I get that. So has your biggest struggle been that you're not enough?
Mm-hmm. Oh, always.
Where did that come from?
Dad.
Dad.
Yeah. Always dad. You know? Uh-huh. So dad. We're good now though.
Okay.
Yeah. But no,
the nutritionist came on.
So she came on and it was just like, for example, I never would have thought this, but like she had saw me weighing myself one time. She's like, my turn. I was like, yeah, go ahead. But just that moment, her getting on there was like, oh my God, I just taught her to get on the scale. Mm. Like even though I didn't tell her to, but she saw me doing it and now is going to be like, wants to do it, even though she just has no idea what it is and thinks it's like pretty and like a little lights going on or whatever. But like, then now she's going to like associate a scale and it's like, so I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, so I'm like, somehow I will mess her up. So I think my biggest fear is where is it going to like mess her up that she's going to have to like,
do you ever worry help? That she's going to feel like she's in your shadow because you're such an exceptional person?
No,
and such an exceptional female.
No. I think I'm praying she'll be like excited to be like independent and like work for everything that, you know, that she's done.
Because
so.
what if it's hard for her because you're so beautiful, you're so talented. I mean,
she's gonna be 10 million gazillion times more beautiful.
Well, her name is Jolie, which is beauty pretty in French.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know. Do you know your girl's name?
No, we're still trying to narrow it down. Right. Did you know before you had your babies? Mm-hmm. You did?
Yeah.
How did you come up with them?
Jolie was a name that I always loved. And then Jace actually came from my friend Sarah Bryce again. She has her kids' names are always like they're Riker and Dakota, like really cool, like different names.
Oh, yeah.
And she sent me a list of names and she goes, then she says, Jace, it means healing.
Oh, and my
the timing
gosh.
Of when Michael and I were going through our stuff, I was just like, and then with the miscarriages and then again, we, you know, kind of our journey, I was like, this is the name. Like he's healed us. He's healed the relationship baby. And everything. So,
has he really
a million percent.
It's really healed your
100%. And he's like the love of my life. That little boy. Like I at first was very upset to have a boy. And then I found out it was a boy. I was just like, oh my God. Cause I love Joe. Like girls are so much fun. You're going to have so much fun.
Is that first so fun. Really hard though?
Yeah. But it's great though.
Yeah.
Like now, like, because I know it's the last time I'm holding on to every second. I'm like, I don't care that he's up and it's 4 hours. Like, I love it. Like, love he's that. The best.
Oh.
He's like, it was just like, just hold on to him because they grow up so fast. So I'm literally soaking in. Like, Michael's like, wait, you just yelled at me for not putting Jace down. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but it's like the last one. I want to hold him. Like, he's my boy. Like, let me hold him a little bit longer.
Oh my gosh.
I love him.
So when did you and Michael make the decision that you guys were going to like fight to heal your marriage and everything? Cause you probably could have gone either way at one point, right?
Well, when he went away for a couple months, I didn't know. I was only doing it for Jolie, to say that like I gave it my all. And then a therapist basically said, give it a year. And I was like, a year? Like, no. And they're like, no, like when trauma happens in a relationship, you should give it a year because the gut instinct is to be like, peace out, see you later. But if you give it a year, like you can see maybe growth and you can see maybe the person trying or not trying. And I said, fine, like I'll give it a year. And he's like, and then after that year, then give it like a month or whatever you want it to be. Okay. So it's like, you give it a year and then you look at a year and you say, okay, I'm going to give you 2 more months. And then I'm going to keep seeing. And we had like a bunch of ups and downs, but what I kept seeing was like, he was putting like the building blocks up, and yeah, some would come down and some stuff would happen, but I saw growth and I saw someone willing to work. It wasn't like I was just doing the work and he wasn't, like we were both putting in the work. And I think that's what made me like want to fight for it and stay.
How did you see yourself changing? Where did you change?
I changed because I'm the kind of person, and when something happens, I peace out immediately.
That's sort of my natural tendency, I think, 100%. Back in the day.
Yeah, 100% peace out. I will find someone else. and they'll be shinier and prettier. Yeah, you will not hurt me. And I'm going to find someone way shinier, way prettier. But then they're going to have the same issues, because I still have the issues that I haven't worked on myself too. So like through all that stuff, I've been able to work on my stuff
and find that you are worthy and deserving.
It's hard though. And we constantly get triggered. Like something just happened the other day where it's like, I don't feel enough, or I don't feel appreciated. It's like, well, I don't feel enough when you said this. So it all comes back to the root. It's just about how you communicate on the way up.
So have you really worked on your communication skills? Mm-hmm. That is everything, isn't it?
Yeah.
And not reacting.
Well, yeah. The thing is what communicating with empathy. So it's like when you say something, it's like, they're not saying you did something wrong, but say like how you made you feel. Like, I feel like this, I feel by you doing that, it made me feel this way. Or I feel sad when blah, blah, blah. And instead of being like, well, I didn't do it like that way, it's like, I'm so sorry you feel that way.
Right.
So touching and then be like, can I help you understand why I did this? You know,
coming at it with love.
Yes.
That's how I used to be, like the first half of my relationship with Michael before we broke up, I would just react and get angry and also peace out, like, bye.
See you later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay.
Because it's so easy to go.
It is, but then you get out there.
Then you have kid, and you know what I mean? It's like, you have kids. Like, I just don't want to do it. I don't want to do it alone. I mean, also, I know I could, but.
But also there's no perfect person out there. That's what I realized when I dated people for 2 years when Michael and I were broken up. I was like, okay, I'm going to go get this perfect life put together, white picket fence.
Yeah.
Fence. I dated so many people. You don't even want to know. I was like a tornado. I moved to Austin. My friends were like, you're a tornado. You need to rein in your tornado, because I would go out every single night, like looking for dudes, like to date.
I totally hear you.
And I would never go on dates.
I have like a rock in my leg. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, no, totally. Like,
but I would go on dates with like everyone from like businessmen to lawyers to, I mean, name them, all over the place. Like everyone who I thought had their shit together. Mm-hmm. And I would be so unimpressed.
Bored
or just like hate the way their mouth looked or the way they talked or the way they like, I mean, the weirdest things would trigger me. And I would just be like, I can't do this with this person. And finally I realized that there is no perfect person. You have to just love, you know, when you love someone and love all of their imperfections and then learn to love those. And then you don't even see them like you used to.
Yeah.
Cause I know I have a ton of imperfections.
Oh, I mean, same. So, I mean, it's, you know, but where it's, as long as you can look in the mirror and you can do your work, I think that's the most important thing.
And I have something about marriage that has like game changed for me. Is knowing that I'm in it for the long haul with Michael. It is like that thought of something else like went away. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, okay, this is where I am. So let me make this great.
Yeah.
And so like
there's no other option.
For my own self, I want to have a happy life. Mm-hmm. And so for me to be happy, I need to be happy with him, because your spouse determines so much of your happiness.
Oh yeah.
You're with him all the time. Mm-hmm. So it's really like, okay, let me water where I am, because this is the rest of my life. So let me make this great. And then you end up building each other up. Mm-hmm. But you have to train yourself how to do that.
Yeah.
It's not hard.
Well, it comes with it. I think we're a little like we're wiser now.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh God, the mid 20 Jana would never.
Talk to me about mid 20 Jana. Jana. What was she like?
Just a love addict at the core. Just going from like guy to guy, being like, love me. And they're like, I love you. I'm like, all right, bye. See you later.
You just want to make sure you get them to love you.
100%.
Did you want to get everyone to love you? Mm-hmm. Because then if you got everyone to love you, you'd feel like you were totally lovable. Because you proved to yourself that.
Then I would be enough. It was bad. It was just real bad. I was real bad. I apologize to every single person I did that to.
But we're all a shit show in our 20s.
Bad.
Okay, so then how did you break the love addict, Jana?
Oh, you know, I met my husband and then I had to go through that struggle. You know, just like, because then you realize like what's underneath that and like why you do that. And
And where's your self-worth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's tough, but you know, it's good. Thirties is my best.
Okay. So what's 30 Jana like?
Thirties is, I still want people to like me, but in a way where I'm going to be authentic. So I love being authentic. I still get hurt when people say mean things, but it doesn't affect me as much as it would affect 20. And I don't react the way that I would usually react, where it's just like, well, I'm sorry that they're unhappy with their lives, or I'm sorry that they're going through something that they feel like they have to be mean to me. But 30 is going to like 30s Jana is like, all right, I'm focused on me, my family, and
building your friends. Life.
Yeah. I'm building my life, not building, like not trying to make other people happy.
That's a breakthrough.
Yeah. But you know, it's like ups and downs. It's like flows, you know?
Uh-huh. I have like the people pleasing thing so much.
Yeah.
But I feel like I've really gotten over it more. Not over it. I'll always have it. It's like, it's like my,
it's your thing.
My thing.
What's your sign?
A Leo.
Leo. What's your love language?
Words of affirmation.
Affirmation. Okay.
What about you?
Touch.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Touch me. Don't touch me.
See, like touch makes me awkward. Isn't that really weird? Like I'm so touchy with
Michael.
What's
your least?
With my girlfriends, like if my girlfriends like hug me or like want to snuggle or something, I have to like make myself do it.
Well, I'm not like now, like, but like, yeah, with Mike, I'm always just, that's my number one. And that's like his last one. So it's like,
okay, what's his?
His is acts of service. And I could give like two shits about that.
Oh my gosh. I appreciate when people do acts of service though. Does he do acts of service for you?
Yeah, but that's not my love language. So I couldn't care less.
But he probably gets a lot of stuff done.
No. No. I would say we're very equal, like with chores and work and stuff like that.
Okay.
I have a better timeline, but it's still equal.
Cause you're super competitive.
Competitive, but then also like I want things done like yesterday. Uh-huh. No, actually like 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Okay. What's your sign?
Sagittarius.
What does that mean?
It's very fiery. We're non-committal. We like, if you were like, let's go to San Fran right now, I'd be like, let's go. Like, let's do it.
Totally.
Like super spontaneous.
So awesome.
And we love, like we love to love. We're hard to commit though.
So look at you just like breaking some of those stereotypes.
Some of the, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's fun though.
So what's your greatest fear and what's your greatest joy?
In life or as a mother or in career?
Okay. Let's do mother, career, life.
Oh, Jesus. My biggest fear as a mother is, this goes real dark, but my biggest fear is something happening to my children.
Yes. Well, I think that's normal.
Yeah. My biggest fear as a mother, like me messing them up would be like, that they're not nice. I would hate to find out that like one of my kids is a bully. That would make me really sad.
What's your greatest success as a mother?
Oh, they're the teachers are just say that they're the nicest kids and they're lovable and warm and smart and independent. I'm like, all things.
That has
just
to like everything. So good.
I know. I would love that. That would be the speed. Yeah. The best. And then my biggest fear as an artist or work wise is that people just stop caring, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
That would suck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like I'm just going to fade away. Like, especially
I think that every single day
I'm like, why is anyone like, even with my podcast and stuff, I'm like, cause I've like been doing it all by myself. I don't really have a team or anything.
Yeah.
I'm like, does anyone even listen to this care?
They do.
But I'm like, why am I even doing it? Like, what am I doing this for? Do you ever feel that way?
Every single day. Like sometimes I'll even like do a story and I'm like, why am I doing it? Like, who cares?
Oh, I'll do a story too. And I'm like, I'm the only one watching it. And I'll see that people watch it, but I'm like, those aren't people. Like those aren't really people.
That's just like my mom and Catherine and like that. I'm like, they don't really care what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. And it doesn't feel like real people. And I know. Why is that?
I don't know. I think we don't give I don't think we have enough self-worth.
It's always the core thing, isn't it?
Self-love and self-worth. But no, I think that's my biggest fear is I'm terrified it's going to go away at any second. And then people just won't care anymore.
That's never gonna happen.
And then what was the other one?
Maybe in life.
In life. Oh man, I die and then I don't get to see my kids grow up.
Yeah.
And then they could be like, oh, she was such a good mom, but I wish I would have had more time with her.
Life becomes very real when your kids, doesn't it?
It's very scary. Every time I get in a plane, I'm like, oh dear God, I could have been such a great mom. I would have been the best. Like I do, I know I do my own like eulogy in my head. I'm like, she was going to be a great, Like, she would have been great. Oh, I wish I would have known her. Like, yeah. Like, Jana. I literally go through that in my head. It's real messed up.
Did you ever have life and death fears before you had kids like that?
I always thought I was going to die young. So I'm glad that I've surpassed that.
Yeah.
Because I thought I was going to die in my 20s. I don't know. I just always had that like thought in my head. But yeah. I'm very
nasty. You know, it is hard to stay alive. All the ways that yeah. people can die.
It's like, crazy.
Things happening all over the world. Oh, it's a damn miracle.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. Let's not talk about
that. Oh God, no.
So what gives you strength?
My kids, man. I'm obsessed with them. I really, truly, like, I love being a mom. I love doing what I love, you know, podcasts. I love doing, you know, my husband and I are working on something super exciting right now. I can't wait to share with everyone. Like, I love doing that stuff. And I love, even though I get rejected 24/7, I do love auditioning and I love acting and singing, but I love being a mom. And I've always like walked out of audition rooms not feeling like I did good enough. I've always walked out of a studio and been like, I really suck and I don't have as good of a voice as like Mickey got in, or, you know, and I love her, and like, or, you know, freaking Carrie Underwood. I know that, but I always am like, but I'm like, I don't have a good voice, or I'm not a good enough influencer or good enough this person. But like, I know I can walk away that even I know I can walk away saying I'm a great mom. So like, that just like fills me up so much, even though sometimes I feel like I'm failing as a mom, but I still know at the end of the day that I'm a great mom.
That's so awesome.
And that's like my favorite thing.
Can you give me some tips on like being a new mom?
Just learn together, you know, something I said to Joel the other day, I was like, I'm sorry, baby, mommy messed that up. Like, I didn't mean to, like, I might've snapped at you. Like, just like own up to your stuff. For me, it's like, just be their friend too. And like, but be their parent at the same time, protect them, but love them and be there for them. Mm-hmm. And you will feel like you're failing and it's going to be really hard. And sometimes I'm like, the other day I was like, why did I want this? Like, you know, cause I'm like, but then the second, I mean, she's upstairs sleeping right now. I'm like, I cannot wait until this is over so that I can go in her room and kiss her and like cuddle with her. Oh. Like just to give her like one last kiss goodnight. But I couldn't wait to put her down. So like, right. That's the crazy thing.
I loved how today you said you had a big mommy fail cause you totally forgot her bag.
100%. We're at the airport and we're like, oh my,
like, you're flying from LA. For how long are y'all here?
3 days, but okay. Still, like, that's 3 days. I'm like, we forgot her suitcase. So I had to go over to my friend's house and get clothes. I'm like, what a freaking failure. Like, what a freaking mom fail.
No.
But she's happily tucked up and
she didn't even know.
Girlfriend clothes. Yeah. She's like, no idea. My bag. And I was like,
knew I forgot
your clothes
something.
Are in my bag, baby girl. Like, I packed it together.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you could have laid out, what would you want the next 5 years to look like?
Oh my goodness. Well, we're moving back to Nashville.
Are you excited?
I've never been more excited.
How was living in LA?
It was the best thing for Mike and I to start fresh and to have no reminders of anything, no triggers of anything. Like, just
reset.
Fresh. Like, yeah, like we literally pressed power off, power on. Like, and that's just like we just restarted there and we, you know, we had another baby there. And so like, I will miss LA because I love the weather, but also I'll miss just kind of like what we started there. But I'm excited to start the new chapter back again here.
So what do you think the new chapter is going to be like here?
I think it's going to be exciting, but I'm also scared because there's so many things kind of in the works that I'm like, it's either going to be a massive success or a massive failure.
You know what? I don't think any of it is a success or a failure because it all keeps you going somewhere.
Yes, I know.
And with
but it's interesting.
Don't you know? Find with the entertainment industry though, like, I feel like 90% of what I've done has not panned out to anything, but it's still like looking back, I'm like, it still is helpful.
I know. Well, and even like I look at, I'm like, all right, one of the biggest failures that people might think is, okay, what happened with my husband and I? But honestly, if you look at it, I'm like, it's been actually the biggest blessing and the biggest success is because now we have a successful podcast because of what happened, because we talk about it now and other things that we're doing together because of that. That would have never happened.
You're also like making other people feel okay to talk about their problems and work through them and be honest, you know, because a lot of people have a hard time being honest about stuff. So if you and Mike are up there, like, being honest with your relationship.
Well, and that's what I love growing. About you too, though, is because like everyone, especially in the influencing world too, is they, you know, they post the real pretty pictures of them and I can't do that. I'm like, this is my house right now. And it's like, I haven't picked up laundry in like 5 days. It like, and this is,
I hate to break it to you. You always look like a dream.
No, but I mean like, same, like we're just like, I don't feel great or whatever. Like it's just, you keep it real. And I think that's what will win at the end of the day.
Oh, so much of my life is like a hot mess. Like I look at my face, I look like a pug. Stop. Like I told Michael,
you are pregnant with a beautiful baby girl.
But I didn't know how much I loved Botox. And oh, I know. I like have I like I didn't know. I, right now. But I don't have like big lines. I have like 100 little lines.
Let me see. What? I mean, but I'm rest, about to cut rest
bangs.
Your face.
No, I'm about to cut bangs.
You're fine, babe. You only have a couple more months left. You're good. We'll stop doing that. You're making it worse.
Look at how many. I told Michael. I'm like, just tape it. I was like, you're married to a pug doll. I mean, a pug dog.
It's not bad, babe.
He was so funny. He's going to kill me that I said
this. The second that you have the baby out, you can do it. It's fine.
What about breastfeeding?
Oh, I didn't breastfeed.
Oh, I'm going to try.
You're going to try.
Michael's going to kill me that I said this.
Okay.
So like I got my hair, because I was too scared to get my hair highlighted the first trimester.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Anything that can be linked to miscarriage. I was just like so anxious of having another miscarriage. And did we talk about that already on here? Like how it's just like so nerve wracking.
Yeah. I mean, I told you, I was like, I was wiping in 37 weeks and still going like, oh my God, is it red? Like I'm terrified.
Same. I mean, it's not TMI, I guess, because it's a real thing. Like first 14 weeks, I was checking for blood every single day. Mm-hmm. Cause you're just so, and like anytime you get a little cramp.
Oh yeah. Like, you're like, that's it. It's gone.
You're like, oh, it's mm-hmm. happening. And so
did you get the heart thing?
No, I don't have
it. Okay. You got to get it.
And so you can check it on your own heartbeat. Mm-hmm.
So, what did you say to Mike?
So I finally got my hair highlighted. He's like, and it's still not even that much. I got to go blonder because it's not blonde enough. But he was like, oh my God, you're getting all your stuff done. He's like, so you're back and like just getting all your things now because you're for the first trimester. He's like, so I guess the only thing you can't do is like that your face procedure. I was like, oh, my Botox. I was like, oh, are you noticing that he's going to kill me. He didn't mean it like that. He was just saying like, you can't get Botox. No, but
he said it though.
And I was like, babe, it's okay. I know I'm a pug. It's fine. Like you can just rub my belly. I'm a little dog. He was like, no, I didn't mean it like that. It's just like, you can't get Botox or you're pregnant. I was like, it's fine. I know it's there.
Babe, seriously.
But I want to tell Michael, beautiful. I'm not calling you out. He was really not trying to be.
It's okay.
But I just thought, I died laughing so hard.
That's because, amazing.
I mean, I've just never felt more wrinkly, but
you look amazing.
They all connect too. My forehead connects to my eyes, connects to my cheeks.
You like, know what look, though? But you're a mama.
It's like a giant rainbow.
You're beautiful. You know, you're beautiful. Seriously. You don't even.
And I'm not complaining. It's just a notice. I've just noticed it.
You look amazing. I promise.
Yeah.
Thanks. You're going to be okay and you're going to have a beautiful baby girl and everything's going to be amazing. And I'll help you pick out, you know, what you need for your registry, what you need and what you don't need. Yes. Because there's a lot of things that you need, a lot of things you don't need.
I need all the list.
Yeah. I'll get you all of it.
Okay. So I like to wrap all my podcasts with the same question.
Okay.
Your light.
Oh yeah.
So just leave some inspiration of everything that you've gone through. And I have to say again, Michael was not calling you out. I thought it was funny. He's going to be like, why did you say that? I didn't mean it in a bad way.
To all your podcasts?
No, but if he heard that I said this, he would be like,
no,
he'd be like, I didn't mean it like that. So he's off the hook. I just thought it was funny. Okay. So leave your light. How have everything you've gone through, all of your life experiences, everything, like what kind of wisdom do you want to pass on to someone who's listening to you, maybe looking up to you? Like, what do you want to tell someone listening to you?
Well, it's funny that you say leave your light, because one of the things that I've always said is what I've always told someone and what I'm going to tell Joel is never let anyone take your light. So, because I think that's, I've had people take it and I've taken it for myself at times. And your light, your aura, your presence is the number one thing that you can bring to a room, to a relationship, to life, to, I mean, everything. It's like your warmth when you walk into conversations, relationships, meetings. I mean, that's like to friendships, like that is your, like, just don't let anyone ever dim that, because you should feel beautiful. You should walk into a place. You should feel loved and cared about. And I don't know. I think when someone tries to take that from you, it's just, it just doesn't make you feel good. It's not a good place to be in.
So how do you keep your light?
Oh my God. Here's the thing, is I think you have to go through the ups and downs to go through it. And that's the thing. It's like, you're going to have the heartbreaks. You're going to have the people that try, but it's always bouncing back to who, you know, who you are. And I think that just takes growing. And I'm excited. Like I want, like as much as I want to keep Jolie and my kids in a bubble wrap, I want them to also experience the highs and lows. And it's going to be painful as the parent to watch. And sometimes it's hard for me to watch myself go through the failures. I'm like, why didn't I get that part? And I'm bawling my eyes out. Or why is this person mean? Because I'm so upset. But when you can be on the opposite side, I think is if you can reflect, that's how you can keep making your light brighter.
I love that. Mm-hmm. And you sure do the work too.
So, yeah, you have to do the work.
You
yeah.
do it. You do all the work.
So do you, babe.
He's grown a little baby in the belly.
Little baby. It takes a lot of energy to do the work, but it's worth it.
It is.
Because if you don't, then you just carry your problems with you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, and it's just not fun. And then you're blaming other people. And it's like, yeah, we could walk around and be like, I have daddy issues. Like, yeah, great. Okay, next. Like, right. Let's fix it.
There comes a point where it's like, yes, you have really awful things that happen. And like, I hate it for everyone who has shit. But it's like, at the end of the day, we all have shit.
You gotta
own it at some point.
Yeah, own it, embrace it, learn from it, grow from it. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Yes. And then you don't have to carry it.
Yes.
Then you can release that burden.
Yeah.
You're amazing. Yeah, Jana, you're like a therapist.
No.
Girl, I love you. Thanks for coming on and talking to me.
When the baby's out, we're going to have so much wine.
Oh, right. I know. And we won't
be living here.
We won't get drunk.
No.
Okay. Bye.